Blog Talk Radio.
Sequences that took place after it happened. So I'm going to take this moment out to pay some bills, and then I'm going to introduce you to Ms. Ward. I want to first say, if you're driving, you know you must have insurance in the District of Columbia. You know that they just recently opened up several more traffic catches in the District of Columbia. They had on the news the other day where they put them out across the city. And my advice to you is drive carefully but responsibly, but more importantly, be insured. And one of the best people that I know that you can be insured by is Allstate Insurance Company. And one of the better people is Ms. Andre Riley at Allstate Insurance Company at 6103 Baltimore Avenue in Riverdale, Maryland. Now, it sounds like mumble jumble, but that's straight out Rhode Island Avenue. And Rhode Island Avenue in D.C. turns into Baltimore Avenue going into Maryland. And it's just, I guess, three or four blocks after you cross the Eastern Avenue line. But it's 6103 Baltimore Avenue, and that's Ms. Andre Riley at Allstate Insurance. Now, listen. Not only do they give automobile insurance, they insured your house. Any type of insurance that you would like to have coverage on, you give Ms. Riley a call, and I'm certainly that you'll be in good hands with Allstate. That number would be 301-779-1120. Again, that's Allstate Insurance Company. Call Ms. Riley and give her a call and say, look, maybe I haven't covered on my automobile, but I have a second automobile that I purchased for my daughter or my son who, you know, finished in school, and I want to give them a gift for graduation, that type of stuff. But I need my household furniture insured. But any type of insurance, I need personal insurance, life insurance, whatever you need. I'm certain that Ms. Riley at Allstate Insurance can give you that quality comforting. So give Ms. Riley a call with 301-779-1120. I'll give you my personal insurance that you're going to be really satisfied. That's Allstate Insurance, if you would. 6103 Baltimore Avenue, Riverdale, Maryland. That's straight out Rhode Island Avenue. Give Ms. Riley a call, will you? 301-779-1120. And here, if you on the way there, if you happen to get home, I have a niece called a Bab. I call her Bab Bab. Name is Barbara Down. Look, I'm telling you, now, you know, I don't eat no meat, but I love me some fish. And I was there about 10 days ago, and they told me, look, I have to go back. I didn't want to come back too soon because I was begging. They fed me some fish. Look, let me tell you something. They have a menu. She has 849 Upper Street Northwest. The phone number is 202-210-1730. Ask for Barbara. Tell them that Jake sent you. And if they don't give you some kind of discount, you're certainly going to be satisfied with the taste. Look, they have a menu that, you know, that's fit for a broke. Because I can attest to that because I was one and I was there. They have fish sandwiches, white and croaker, trout, tilapia, tuna. And they have chicken salad. They got the gold riddle ribs, if you will, hot dogs, beef hot dogs, regular dogs, chicken dogs, turkey dogs, and hungry dogs. Then they got half smoked. They got regular beef, hot beef and turkey. Then they got the burger, Tony burger, turkey burger, beef burger, barber burger. Then they got the dinners that got good prices. Then they got ice cream. They got that inside all. You know the mac and cheese is cousin to the fish there. And they got yams, greens, string beans. Look, I'm just telling you, get by there and see my niece, Barbara. Bab, look, pick me up a plate, will you? I'll be there sometime tomorrow. I love that. Whoever your cook is, that little guy, treat him nice. If I had a tip, he certainly is well-deserving of. And they have smoothies and tea and lemonade. And then you got stuff that that's on the go. So they got wings and wingettes. I'm telling you. And more importantly, listen, y'all. You hear what I'm saying? They will deliver, and they don't specify that you got that order at least $10 worth of stuff, but that would be a good idea with the gas prices going up like they are. But give Cousins a call, will you? It was, you know, it used to be called Duke. That's my man. That's her son, Duke. You know, well, that's my man. But look, go by T-Bass, Barbara, if you would, 849 Upson Street Northwest, phone number 202-210-1730. That's Barbara. Duke, go by, tell him Jake sent you, your big uncle. You know, that's my baby, Bad Bad. And if you would, go green, go green. You know, for all the people that rode around in Carpenters, you see on the signs on the street corners that Adopt the Block is now directed to the Family Community Fellowship. The mayor has sent a proclamation up, and we are in charge of Adopt the Block, I guess, from Benning Road all the way, I guess, for the next 10 blocks surrounding Carpenters. But, you know, and who's going to do this work? Lil Dow Lewis. That's the pastor's son, Dow. And, look, they do spring cleaning. You certainly needed that for all this snow. I mean, good Google move. We had snow. But we got a cleanup crew that's second to none. They do mulching, starting and seeding, planting and pruning, perennial cutbacks, light lawnmower. Look, I know some of y'all... Look, I need somebody to mow this grass now. It's showing up growing now with all this snow and rain we had. Tree and shrub and fertilizer, disease and inspection treatment. Look, call Darrell if you would. I'm telling you that he has the training of his father, and his father has over 30 years of experience. He stopped doing this to go into ministry, and they had given him a $5 million contract. He got more hard than me. God might be mad at me because I don't know if I can tell with that. But, you know, you have to be obedient, and Darrell certainly is. And so give him a call, if you would, at 240-370-1789. Or you can call him right here at the Family Community Fellowship, and that's 202-396-1179. And then they'll give you a free estimate of whatever you want to do. Now, I've had the occasion to talk to some people who have some personal experiences with the type of work to do. And if you would... You can go down New York Avenue at the Days Inn, right there behind Checkers, and all that that beautiful scenery that you see around surrounding Days Inn, that was their work, a product of their work. So, look, give them a call if you would. It's time for the spring clean to come up. You know, the first day of spring we had a little snow, but now it's time to go and go green. 240-370-1789 or 202-396-1179. Give them a call. You will not be disappointed. All right, thank you. And again, for all those who call, I know these people personally. You can tell them, Jake told me to call you. Certainly would appreciate you. Look, if you happen to, now, you know, continuing along in the family line, you have his daughter, Paz's daughter. And she has a company that's second to none. And if you want to have a birthday party, an anniversary, or graduation, or anything of that nature, for whatever age or whatever occasion, I'm telling you that you would be remiss if you didn't give her a call. And that would be Miss Kendra Lewis, and she—I'm telling you—you can't miss it. You cannot miss with this setup that they have. I would beseech you to give her a call if you would. And this is a time where, you know, we have a lot of marriages and a lot of people graduating, birthday parties, if you would. You know, and we want to always be a blessing to people that we respect, or somebody that called and respect the gift that you have for setting these type of activities up. So give Kendra a call. She's the CEO of a House of Arden, and she has a terrific director. Her name is Brittany Salas. But if you would, give her a call. And that number is 301-433-3445. Please give her a call. Again, anytime I give you a call to call somebody, you can tell them that they told you to call. And if you're not satisfied, you can call me and hold me a personal response. I will not advertise these people on there if they didn't give good quality service and wouldn't give you what you pay for. So again, give him a call, will you? Miss Kendra Joseph and is also assisting with the pastor's baby boy, Dion Lewis. And you have a situation where you need to pay some bills. Electric bill is too high, gas bill is too high, or you know, you need some type of assistance with your rent and that type of stuff. Or if you're just going into entrepreneurship with these young people, look, you wouldn't want to meet a better people, a better quality of people than little Dion Lewis. Give him a call. It's called for Wake Up Now. And he's at 202-390-9984. Give Dion a call, will you? Trust me, you will not be disappointed. And they do a wonderful job. And then there is Miss Flowers by India. Look, we had an invocation here. Pastor was elevated in the religious status. This woman and her organization came in and set up a floor arrangement that where people are still talking about them. And this is a kind of setup that you would expect for a 50th anniversary, something that's very special, 25th anniversary, something that's real special to you, and real dear to you. And this was an invocation occasion. The floor arrangement was second to none. I had to have one of that the flower arrangement, so I have one sitting on right beside my bedside to always remind me of such a beautiful occasion. And if you want to have an activity that you need to set up, please give India a call if you would. That's Miss India Gibson at of India's Floral Arrangement at 202-658-1553. Please give her a call. And again, when I tell you something and I give these advertisements over the air, I stand behind them. I stand behind them. Trust me. And then there's, for all those people such as myself who up in age and you need to have the herbs and that type of stuff to supplement your medical diet. Doctors order this and doctors order that. So if you want some true nourishment, go by and see Nate up at Nate Mines at the Health Wellness Center at 402 8th Street in Northeast Washington, D.C. Look, I'm telling you some good stuff. And they do a lot of other stuff, too. Hey, for all those guys who can't do the do, if you would, and you need some help standing up, go see Nate. And he has some on-demand that I'm telling you, on point. And then they have a good meal. Now, you can't get no pork chop or nothing in that. No pork, but you can get a meal that's in there that's second to none, and it's all health-bounded food. You know what I'm saying? Overeating, if you would, but you're going to really enjoy the food that you get there. So go by and see old Nate Mines up there on 402 8th Street in Northeast Washington, D.C. That's Nate Mines up there at the Health Wellness Center, right there on the corner of 4th and 8th Street in Northeast Washington. Give Nate a call, if you would, and go by there and see him. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed in him. And then if you have a car and you have your insurance, like I told you about going to Allstate and getting your property insurance, you need to go by and get it clean. And there's no better guy with the entourage that he had cleaning your car. They don't know machine touches your automobile. None. It is at 1021 Blaze Bay Road Northeast. It's called a place called Smoke Hand Detailing and Cleaning. Look, wonderful job. I go by there. You can afford to go by there. You know, if I go by there, you certainly can afford it. And I got the big old black van. You know what I'm saying? Without a problem, they clean it inside and out, spick and span, spotless. Wonderful job. So if you would, give my man Smoke a call. That's 1021 Blaze Bay Road in Northeast Washington, D.C. Go by there and give Smoke a call. And look, you know, more importantly, you know what they'll do? For $5 extra, they will come by and pick up your car or vehicle, if you would. Take it, clean it, and then bring it back. You can't beat that for $5. So give my man Smoke a call, if you would. 1021 Blaze Bay Road, Northeast Washington, D.C. And I have one, man, I'd be remiss if I miss my man Nut Coleman at the Chateau. You know, Breeze is there on Wednesdays. And you know, I'm there on Wednesdays with Breeze. And people are amazed at my little movement with my dance thing, but I do that with passion, and it helps me with my exercise. So go by at the Chateau, if you would, and give these people a shout out, and especially on Fridays. But if anybody was there out there last night, they had the Pisces and the Aries birthday party out of sight. Trust me, and they had a good dinner. But you know. Man, look, and then I couldn't miss my in-laws at Hawes and Dickies. You know, they had 6912 4th Street Northwest, and then they had 8th Street Northeast, oh God, Hawes and Dickies. You've been there. You know the place. Get your fist in. Okay? And I need to say one more thing before I bring on my guest this evening, Ms. Ward. For all of you who need a blessing from God, you need to visit 2026 Merlin Avenue at 21st, 11 o'clock on Sundays, 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, evening, if you will. Prophet, Bishop Elder, and soon to be Bishop, Honorable Darrell Lewis, look, that's my man. And I'm telling you, if you want to see receive a true gift from God in terms of word and prophecy, you would be remiss if you fail to come at an 11 o'clock service. Because they have 10:45 Bible study. I mean, 9:45 to 10:45 Sunday school. But to hear this man speak on Sunday, be there at 11 o'clock. 2026 Merlin Avenue at 21st. Or any Tuesday night. He'll be there tomorrow night. And matter of fact, the apostle will be there tomorrow night. Just like receiving the Pope from the Catholic, the apostle will be there tomorrow night. Tuesday, 2026 Merlin Avenue. Come at 7 o'clock. You'd be doing yourself a disfavor if you miss these days. Now, again, I'm going to get back. Let me tell you, if you need to call Smoke to pick up and deliver your call, 202-396-1275. That smokes car detailing at 1021 Blake Bay Road, Northeast. And like I said, if you, that's to get your car clean. But again, if you need the insurance, you need to go to Allstate Insurance Company up there, Miss Andre Ryan, at 301-779-1120. Miss Ward,
yes,
thank
sir.
You for coming.
Thank you.
I, more importantly, thank you for wanting to share your experiences with the entire nation. And this is Blog Talk Radio. We go from one end of the country to the other.
Yes,
you know, and so people, you need to listen intently, because a lot of us go through this stuff and don't comment about it. And for her to want to come and talk about it and to relive that type of experience, you need to applaud her richly. And then she's sitting here talking to the radio, and the microphone is one thing, but she has a live audience sitting right here, this family Edwards that she's never seen before, had only seen me once, and she's willing to talk in front of us and talk to you and to relate her experiences. So without further ado, Carlin, you know, feel free to talk and say whatever you choose to talk, and just tell the listening audience just what happened to you, the experiences that you had with your husband, and why you are pursuing a suit against the D.C. government and the police department. Go on and speak up, because I want them to hear every detail, every little word, every issue that you have. Go on.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Carlin Bridges Ward. I live in Washington, D.C. I live in Southeast Washington. I am here to let you know that my husband, Steve A. Ward, died in 1999, and I have been fighting to get justice for him for many years, ever since 06, when I found out the police department had closed my husband's case. Now, everyone knows that we've been having a lot of issues with police brutality, but in my case, I live in Washington, D.C., and this had been covered up for years. It wasn't a high-profile case. It wasn't in the newspaper. You couldn't read it there. But my husband died as a result of, he was actually in a fight with some guys, they said, on Benning Road, but I found out that wasn't true. But to make a long story short, for years I have been fighting the police department to tell me how my husband died. To this day, I don't know what happened to my husband. I know he was beaten more than twice. I know he was maced more than twice. Mm. And I know he suffered brain damage. He had a concussion in May, April, and June. When we left the court in June, my husband was, the reason why he was in court is because they had a charge of my husband attacking the police, but come to find out that they had a grand jury, which I didn't know anything about, and my husband was let go on the 7th of June in 1999. Well, that night when he was home, for some reason, I don't know, but a gang they called Temple City Gang had came up. They said seven men, they were teenagers, they would have been men now, had attacked my husband. Find out years later, maybe that wasn't true. In my heart, I believe that my husband died from the beating that he suffered in May and April. And I did have one witness to say that she seen an officer while my husband was laying on the ground, was hit with a pole. I did have letters from my witness. But till this day, I have not received closure. Now, I had sent letters to the mayor. I had sent letters to the Wilson Building throughout the years. I have been in and out of the court trying to find justice. I had had an attorney and an investigator, but my money exhausts out of that. So for years now, I've been trying to fight the government to find out how my husband died. I don't know if you're aware of a 12309, but they used that against me because they said that I wasn't in time. What time do you have when you're trying to find out how your loved one died? But since I was not in time, I didn't know I was not in time because they was giving me false negative information. And I tried to get a meeting with Chief Lanier. She never did grant my meeting. And one time when I went down and talked to the detective, I found myself in a holding cell being threatened. So I am just at my end to try to find out why they want to cover up my husband's murder case and why was documents stolen from his autopsy report from the government. And if it hadn't been for the judge, I'm not going to mention his name, but if it hadn't been for the judge down at the D.C. Superior Court letting me see the information that was taken from me, I would never have known that half my autopsy report was not sent to me. I didn't know till the judge asked me to go, till the judge asked me if I wanted to see the information, and I did. And I went to downtown to 441 where the attorney was, and he let us look at the information. Because I'm dyslexia, I had to take a lady named Sandra Siegel with me, a very, very close friend of mine, to read the information to me. So we found out a whole lot of information that was kept from me that the police department or either the attorney had stolen or decided not to let me see it from the autopsy report. So I never did get the autopsy report, all of the information, and I think that is wrong for people that their loved ones die, and then when you try to find out how they left this earth, someone go and tamper with the information and not show you all of the information. Now, in my heart, I know that my husband is gone and he's not coming back, but I think the government should at least own up to the fact that my husband did not die from a man called Alvin Bond. It wasn't a one punch, one fight. Because remember when Chris Brown was here and he got a one punch fight, they arrested him. So I don't understand why no one was arrested in my husband's murder case. And I'd like to thank you for listening to my story, and I hope this would help other people to know that we need the city to step up to the plate and actually help us, especially the government.
Yes, let me ask you a question, Tom.
You said he was maced twice?
Yes.
By the police?
Yes. And they shut the door and rolled up the windows, and he had to kick the glass out. That's why it started on a domestic problem at that time. Not with me. My husband was involved in another relationship. I didn't know anything about that one, so I can't comment on that. But all I know after the fact that information was not revealed to me for years.
Well, and you said that they had your case dismissed because you failed to file what they call a
12309. That's if you know within 6 months, I think, anything wrong. I'm not quite sure about the 12309.
Even if. If they kept it, the information from you in terms of why or how he got killed or beat to death or whatever caused him to expire, it appears that you can file for an extension of time and give the extenuating circumstances in terms of that one reason that you didn't know, of course, that they say it's, that's no excuse because you don't know the law. But you certainly didn't know about the time frame because you didn't have the information within 6 months of the incident of him getting killed.
I didn't know anything.
Right, and so when you can go and file for an extension of time on your appeal. File for an extension, but you can file for reconsideration to the judge, and for and ask them to accept the 12309 because. You didn't file within 6 months of the incident because you didn't know they withheld the information from you in terms of how he expired.
They told me absolutely nothing. And when I did talk to the police department, they said no one will be charged with my husband's death and the case is closed and that's about.
Right, and some of the reason for that, see, murder don't have no statute of limitations. There's no end to that.
Oh, really?
And no, and no statute, no end to murder, and so one of the reasons why they want to shut it up, I guess, because they feel, in my view, that the police is responsible and no one else, because they always investigate murder. You understand what I'm saying? That's it's never closed.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that.
Yeah, murder cases never closed.
They never told me that.
Right. Yeah, murder cases never closed.
Oh.
And so one of the reasons why they say the case is closed, because in my view, they think that a police is involved with it. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Murder cases never closed. If you listen to TV and stuff, these people have been charged with murders and stuff going back years. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They got some people that they still investigating murders that happened 15, 20 years ago.
I had years ago.
Yeah.
For years, I have been trying to find out. When I did, I talked to Councilman Menderson, and I tried to get something from the Wilson Building, you know, to try to help me solve this. It looked like everyone just took a deaf ear on me trying to find out how my husband died, and that's all I'm asking.
Let me ask you something. Did you call 7 on your side?
I tried everything.
And 7 on your
nobody
side?
Nobody respond back to me. Not even Channel 5 News. They didn't respond back to me either. If it's not high profile, they don't want to hear.
But murder is always high profile if you're good. What price could you put on a person's life?
It's no price.
Right. And so there's high profile because it's no price. It's priceless. You know, and then they tell you that a case is closed as a homicide. I know it's ridiculous, because it's never closed. A homicide case is never closed.
Well, the chief of police said my husband died with one punch, and that was not true. Was no one punch.
Well, why would they have to mace him twice?
I mean,
I'm just telling you
okay. That
it just seems strangely that they would tell you that he died one punch but had to mace him twice.
He had a concussion the night we came home on the 7th of June in 1999. He was very sick on his stomach. He couldn't hold anything down. He had very bad headaches. He couldn't see. His vision was impaired, you know, and he was just going through a whole lot. And I could tell that something was wrong because we were supposed to go and have a brain scan that week, the next day. But somehow that night he was lured out. And from my understanding, from the witness, when she called 911, then went back, she seen an officer hit my husband while he was on the ground. And they said that it was 6 boys. They was there. But they had ran away, so they said. And they told me the information in his files I should never have seen. And I was told by one of the detectives, Gina Powell, I haven't seen or heard from her in many, many years. She said my husband brought it on himself. And why do I care? Because he was cheating on me. But that didn't have anything to do with it. I wasn't asking them to go into my marital status.
Mm.
I asked them to show me how my husband died. And they're fighting me. Why are you fighting me? I have a right to ask. I want closure.
I would think that people would understand that I know personally Excuse me, audience. We just had our ANC commissioner, Miss Kathy Henderson, to walk in. We're certainly glad to welcome you.
Oh, you're too kind, Mr. Johnson. Thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming. We were just speaking here with Miss Carolyn Ward, and her husband was. This is Miss Edwards, and she was just speaking about her husband being killed. Under the hands of the police. They beat him, Mason twice, and he tried everything, and because of the 12309 thing about not informing the mayor about you intending to sue the D.C. government or making a complaint against him, that they dismissed her case from court. And she's saying, all I just want to know is why was my husband beat to death, and why? And then they told her the case is closed. I know personally as an investigator that a homicide is never closed until it's solved. And so why they would tell you that, I do not know. And then they tell you that he was killed by one punch, but they had to mace him twice.
Well, this was before why he would be, this was in April that he was maced. In June, I think it was no more than about a few hours he was out before he was attacked by these young men. But I was told that this was arranged for this to happen to him because they said in the paperwork that I seen from the judge, he knew too much. What did he know?
Well, you know,
I don't know.
I'm just concerned about them telling you that the case is closed and the homicide, no one is charged. They say it was killed by one punch. Who threw the punch? If they thought that somebody, or they had evidence that somebody threw the punch, then somebody needed to be charged.
Well, they didn't arrest the people because, like I said, Chris Brown, they arrested him. But, you know, they didn't even look. If they did, they didn't question any of the witnesses that came forward to tell me how my husband was beaten by the police.
Mm. Well, I just find it real strange, Ms. Ward, for the police. And you said Ms. Kathleen Lanier wouldn't speak with you?
No.
And tell you that the case is closed.
She
because
had,
the homicide is never closed. There's no statute of limitation on homicide. I know that.
When I went downtown and talked to one of her sergeants, he told me, we can do whatever we want to do, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Is that when they put you in a holding cell?
Well, they did that the next day, probably. The next day, I was called down. They wanted to ask me some questions. And I was, you know, I thought, just like me and you sitting at a desk. And they put me in a holding cell, and I could look up and see the, you know, they had a camera. So I say, I think you want me to leave up out of here. And I say, because do you know what you're doing? I came to give you information on my witness, and I'm in a holding cell. I told them that if they didn't let me out, I did call another officer and ask her, why was I put in a holding cell?
Did they ever try to interview the witness that you had that say they saw your husband being beat?
No, they never interviewed. And when they did interview one of my witnesses, they set her up and said that she was selling drugs to an undercover officer.
What did that have to do with being, a witness to a homicide?
Well, that was just to scare her maybe because the judge dismissed the case when she told him the only reason why they did that was because she was a witness to my husband's homicide. So I was target, she was target. I had an attorney, I had an investigator, Mr. Bean, and I had paid over $8,000 to him to investigate, and he didn't show up in court. And I haven't heard from him since. I met him in court down at the D.C. Superior Court.
Well, my suggestion at this point is that they have forms at the Superior Court that you can file. You can ask for an extension of time to file. You can write a letter to the mayor and ask for an extension of time to file the 12309 because within 6 months you didn't know of the information that regarding your husband's death.
Okay.
Yes,
if I had known that they took all my husband had for his autopsy report out, I didn't get all of that. They took what they wanted out so I couldn't see it. Hadn't I had seen this information, then it would have told, you know, it would have told the truth. It would have showed the story of how my husband died. But they took half of all the information out and kept it for themselves and didn't want me to see it. They said it was part of the investigation.
Well, you know, again, I'm going to, you can call me on tomorrow. I can go over detail with you in terms of how to file for an extension of time.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
And we can go from there. And because this thing had to be brought back in court. A homicide is never correct.
I've been very stressed out over this. I really have. I lost all my hair and, you know, my body have, you know, I'm just seem to be falling apart because I'm doing this by myself. And when I ran out of money, I had to do it pro se.
Okay. Well, that's effective if you can have an effective case, you know. And let's see, let's try to go about it that way. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I certainly appreciate it, and you're welcome back anytime. But more importantly, you can call me on tomorrow, you know, and I certainly can sit down with you and dictate information in terms of how you can write for an extension of time. For extenuating circumstances, because you weren't aware of the 6-month curfew,
yeah,
that the limitation that they had in terms of informing the mayor, mm-hmm, about a complaint against a government employee, and that you want to do that, and then you can file to the judge in question to ask him or her to reconsider the case, the denial,
okay,
and from that point, if they give, he or she would have to respond. And the response that they give, if they're now, then you can appeal. And then, obviously, the case is open back up.
Thank you.
So, again, you know, feel free to call me.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm really with you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I can possibly do is, because I know a little bit about the law,
God bless
that
you.
I can help you. You understand what I'm saying?
Thank you.
At least to try to get it reopened. It's a homicide case, that for them to tell you that it's
closed.
That's
what I want them to do. I want them to reopen and investigate instead of leave me in limbo.
Right. I mean, to tell you that a homicide case is closed, I know that's right. And Pamela, sorry that you had to come back into our town and experience these type of atrocities and doubts about our police department and all that, but that's going on around the country. Police are just killing people and doing what they want to do, and it's like a Gestapo. They just do things, you know what I'm saying? But y'all certainly can sit and wait if you want. I'm not, you know, not to rush out, but I need to give ANC commission some time.
Okay,
and just take your time,
mm-hmm,
and feel free to come back anytime. You know, but please call me tomorrow.
I will.
And we'll make some arrangements to sit down and address the proper correspondent that we need to try to get this case real.
Thank you.
Ms. Ward, let me say that I am very sorry for your loss. If I can also get your phone number, I'll follow up with you. What is it, ma'am?
302-393-9103.
And I'll call you to get some information to help
back
point you in the right direction.
You.
So sorry about that.
And Pamela, you know, what can I say? You know, you listened, you heard, and they say, you know, this is the type of environment that you come back into, you know. But, you know, we have problems, but we have people of concern who are interested. You know, a lot of powers are limited, but the power of information is always available, and we have somebody like Ms. Kathy Henderson to do such a thing. So, Kathy, without further ado, you know, address our listening audience and give us some good information in terms of our progress.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. It's always a pleasure to be here. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kathy Henderson, the ANC Commissioner for 5D05, and I'm also the chairperson for ANC 5D. I just want to speak briefly about a meeting that we just had and two meetings that are coming up.
Mm.
We just had a very well-attended meeting to discuss...
Excuse me, I'm sorry, caller. I don't know how to do this thing, really. Caller, are you there?
Yes, sir, man, just want to congratulate you on how well your show is going. We appreciate you, and I'm so glad you picked me up. I've been moved for about 10 minutes, but God be the reason.
Well, your voice is breaking up. Thank you for calling. And if you would, you can call back, and we can try to get a better connection. And in the meanwhile, we're going to let Ms. Kathy Henderson go on. Thank you.
I'll be brief. I just want to say thank you to all of the neighbors that attended a recent meeting on Thursday with representatives from Metro or the Washington Metro Area Transit Association, a transit authority, to talk about service issues on the X8 and the X2 bus lines. The meeting was very well attended. All the questions and comments were very substantive. And we had so much information that we have to have a second follow-up meeting. But Metro is poised to make improvements to these lines, and they certainly want to hear from you. We will have a follow-up meeting on April 16th at 6:30 p.m. at the Developing Family Center, which is the Healthy Baby Center in our community right across from the Heckinger Mall Safeway. And I ask everyone in the listening audience to pass on this information and to commit to bring at least two people to the meeting. We had a very good turnout, and we look forward to an even larger turnout on April 16th. On March 25th, which is Wednesday, we will also have a very important meeting right here in this building where we're broadcasting from to talk about the Communications Act, the Incarcerated Persons Communications Act.
Yeah, thank you.
We are asking members of the D.C. Council. And also we're going to forward the request to Mayor Bowser to implement a communication style or opportunity for our residents to communicate with those persons that are incarcerated via Skype. We feel that this is an excellent opportunity for families to stay connected and to help, you know, the incarcerated individuals reform themselves and to lower their recidivism rate. And the research is very clear that when incarcerated persons can keep close connections with family members and the people that love them, it helps them to become lawful, law-abiding, productive citizens.
Yes.
So we want to have this discussion. It will be in this building on the second floor on March 25th at 6:30 p.m., and we look forward to a robust discussion about this. And we need to hear from you, so come on out.
One of the things to piggyback on that is that I received a phone call from Reverend Isaac from the mayor's office. He's the chief of religious.
Is that Donald Isaac?
Yes. And so he said that if he couldn't attend, he would certainly have somebody from his office to attend and represent him and relay his concerns and whatever participation that his office could
And we appreciate that. And we also look forward to having representatives from the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency and the mayor's office on ex-offenders. I think this is an important topic, and I'd like for each and every person in our listening audience to be a part of that discussion. So thank you as always. And we also have our monthly ANC meeting every second Tuesday of the month without fail at 7 p.m. at the 5th District. And this is an excellent opportunity for our neighbors to come out, get involved, hear what's going on, and to participate in the betterment of their community, our community. And we certainly look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, and I appreciate that. You're very energetic. I don't know why you don't run for our ward, councilman, because we don't see these people but twice. I haven't seen them but twice, and I've been active here since 2007. And Mr. Kenyon McDuffie, you know, I respect you, you know, and obviously some people respect you. They voted back in, but we have people with issues everywhere. There is a lady that lives in a shelter, you know, and it has an issue of trying to get some housing. You know, so we don't have anybody like we can call. You know, why should we as a people not have somebody we can call and talk to? I mean, you know, and some of this stuff is ridiculous. That's 411 and this. Great.
Well, Mr. Johnson, you know you can always call on me. I am elected by the citizens, and I look forward to working with every member of the council, including the at-large members and our council chairman and certainly our mayor, to get our issues addressed. We need to hold people accountable. Once we send them to the office and they're in that seat, we have to make sure that they do the job that we've sent them to do, the job that we're paying them to do.
Yes.
So being absent from the community is unacceptable. And certainly I'm here. I'm always here. I've been working in this community, and I'd like to ask that each and every person that's in the listening audience to continue to work with us, to work with you, to help move us forward. So
we
deserve responsiveness.
Yes.
I'm committed to providing that.
And I'm challenging each of you to attend the meetings Ms. Henderson has outlined, and more importantly, this meeting on the 25th, I'm going to host, if you would, and I would hope that you would all come, because I know 85% of you out there have somebody associated or involved with the criminal justice system. Why should we have to spend money to visit our loved ones in jail? Oh, yes, they made mistakes, and some of them were in there by mistake. But whatever that reason, that's secondary, that we leave that to the legal experts. But we talk about the legitimate experts. We're just legitimate people, Ms. Kathy Henderson and myself, and, of course, Pastor Darrell Lewis. We're trying to develop a way that we can still keep our families connected. You know, I mean, some people way out in Texas, California, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, all that, North Carolina, South Carolina, and these various facilities across the country. And it's very difficult for us to maintain some type of family communication. You have to rent a car. In most cases, when you get there, you have to rent a hotel room, if you would. And then, you know, most